9 o'clock hour, even though if it feels like the 11 o'clock hour, the 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. Now, Brian, Jesse has quite the rundown of different segments scheduled. But, A, we'd like to get back onto the clock in some small form or fashion. And B, we have something from RJ in the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments.
Okay.
And I really want to get to this, and I want to have us have enough time. So we're going to do this next. So for those that feel like the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments get ignored, RJ feels a little Chicken Little-ish on this, but it has piqued my interest, and I think it'll pique yours as well. So before we do that, Jesse, let's get through your power rankings Tuesday to kick off the 10 o'clock hour, and then we'll push some of your other great ideas later in the show. Let's do some power rankings.
I do love some power rankings, and ESPN's NFL Nation has assembled their post-free agency phase one power rankings. So pre-draft, post-free agency phase one, because there's phase two apparently coming. It's like a Marvel Cinematic Universe, all this stuff going on. Anyway, in at number, well, Brian Bulaga, how do you want to do this? Because Tausch likes to play different games with the power rankings, where he likes to guess, or sometimes he just says, you read them to me and I'll give you, or whatever. So how would you like to review the power rankings, Mr. Bulaga?
What were those sound effects?
Tauschisms. Why don't you just tell me what they have them ranked? Let's hear the rankings.
Why don't you just tell me what they're ranked? Okay, I will do that.
Let's see.
Number one, the Kansas City Chiefs. Despite losing in the Super Bowl, they check in at number one in the post free agency phase one power rankings. In at number two, up four spots from where they were ranked a month ago, the Philadelphia Eagles, who are the defending Super Bowl champions, for whatever reason, were ranked fifth in the power rankings. Oh. They are now up to number two in this phase. Number three, staying put right where they were, the Detroit Lions. Number four, the Buffalo Bills. Number five, the Baltimore Ravens.
I feel like this is that Price is Right game. Again, the yodeling guy going up the ramp, up the hill, up the mountain. And we just keep waiting for him to get to the point where we get to the Packers. Except this one, he's going the other way. He's starting at the top of the mountain, and he's going down. And I got to tell you, Jesse's got a ways to go still. Jesse, keep going. Yeah.
Number six, the Washington Commanders. One postseason run, and suddenly look at where this team is, sixth in these power rankings. Number seven, the Cincinnati Bengals, bringing back some of those big-paying wide receivers.
That one doesn't make sense. I don't
prisoner of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't understand that at all. You have the worst-ranked defense in the NFL, and you sign your two wide receivers. I get it, they're really good. But you do nothing on defense, but... Okay, but continue.
Number eight, up four spots from where they were ranked a month ago, the Los Angeles Rams in at number eight, ahead of the Green Bay Packers. Speaking of which, number nine, the Green Bay Packers. There they are, still top 10.
Okay.
In at number nine, down two spots from where they were ranked a month ago before free agency opened. And just for context, number 10 to round out the top 10, the Minnesota Vikings. That's so the Packers, ESPN NFL Nation power rankings.
So the Packers are fourth, though, among NFC teams, which I think is noteworthy. And look, this is way premature. The draft is still ahead, etc. But, Brian, to this point, I mean, I would put the Vikings behind them because we don't know what J.J. McCarthy is going to be. right?
Yep.
We know what Sam Darnold did last year, but hey, at this time last year, we thought they were going to maybe start their rookie quarterback last year. We didn't think Sam Darnold was capable of playing the way he did. But I don't have a problem with where the Packers are at right now. They didn't add anything that makes you think, oh, that's going to create a big jump like they did with Xavier McKinney or with Josh Jacobs. So I'm okay with where they're pegged. What about you?
Yeah, no, I'm totally fine with it. And the thing is, like, Homer and I talked about this yesterday, too, with the free agent moves. The two moves that were made that were obviously their big splash buys or, you know, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, were more unknown because of the names. Mm-hmm. Those are going to be signings that we don't know about yet until they actually start playing real ball, right? Like those are names that you're not going to really know about until we see them play. The offensive linemen in particular, those are never signings that people really think are sexy signings. They're just not, right? Like it's a left guard. Why do people find that interesting? What is that doing? Mm-hmm. That's not a wide receiver. That's not scoring me touchdowns or getting me sacks or getting me in, you know what I mean? Like, so I understand it from a perspective, like he signed a guard, like, okay, great. But we all certainly remember what happened when Elgton Jenkins left the game against the Eagles and no one really liked that. So you got to look at it from certain angles of what Goody did and why he did it. And then the DB, Hod, we have to wait and see how he's deployed on the defense. So, like,
right.
But from your standpoint, what you said, yeah, like I'm fine with where they're at. Like that's, to me, it's fine. They added a couple guys that, you know, were areas of need, in my opinion. How they pan out is what we're going to end up seeing. You know, when this comes to fruition, week one, because that's how we're going to find out how these guys play. I mean, we knew about Jacobs and McKinney, right? Like you said last year, mm-hmm. we knew about these two guys before they even stepped on the field. Like Jacobs, stud, McKinney, stud. We understood that. These two guys, we're going to have to wait to see how they play week one, and that's how we're going to determine this.
So they are fourth among NFC teams, second among NFC North teams. But RJ's question in the YouTube comments, not quite as optimistic. We're going to see if we have the answers to make RJ feel a little bit better about this coming season. Because here's what RJ wrote. Jason, can we be honest about the notion that we could very well be fourth in our division this year? Da, da, da.
Wow.
We'll talk about that possibility. I'm not sure I'd call it a likelihood. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Before we get to our conversation about the Packers, the breaking news from the University of Wisconsin. Chris McIntosh, the athletic director, has hired Robin Pingston as the new head coach of the women's basketball program. Was at Missouri for the last 15 seasons. Reached the NCAA tournament four of those 15 seasons. So she is the new head coach of the Badgers women's basketball team. For those of you that are interested in that, and for those of you, meaning me, who wanted to see Brad Fisher get an opportunity for that job, that will not happen. All right.
Leaving the SEC for the Big Ten, a little more significant than leaving the WEAC for the Big Ten.
Yeah, I don't think she resigned, but I don't think she resigned, if you know what I mean. Brian, you said something interesting about the 2018 season. And I wanted to tie that together to what AJ wrote in the YouTube comments for the ESPN Milwaukee channel. Can we be honest about the notion that we could very well be fourth in our division this year? Perhaps we top Minnesota for third, but I can even see Chicago beating us twice this year, unless Love truly levels up. Now, look, I am not in any way saying that this will be another 2018. Okay? You said you could feel that even in training camp. What I do think this season is a pivotal year in where exactly is this quarterback, this philosophy of young teams, this coach, this general manager, where are they headed? Because this is year three of the Jordan Love era. And whether it's fair or not, year three of the Aaron Rodgers era, including with the youngest player to ever start a Super Bowl playing right tackle, won a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying that that is, if they don't win a Super Bowl in Love's third season as the starter, that it is an abject failure, but level up is a good phrase for what this team needs to do. And yeah. In fairness to RJ, who may feel a little doomsday-ish with his post, they did go 1-5 in the division. They went 0-6 against the three teams in the NFC that had better records than them. So I don't know how good they really were last year. They have some good numbers. Their defensive numbers were good. Their offensive numbers, even though it didn't feel like they were as good as their numbers said they were good. Top 10 in yards, top 10 in scoring offense. So, Brian, when you look at this team as we get ready for the draft and then we head toward training camp through the offseason program, how are we at an inflection point with this team, and what are your expectations? Because mine are not for them to finish fourth in the division, but as much as I want to be dismissive of RJ, I can't just say, shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. I don't think I can do that.
No, I mean, I don't think that fourth in the division is going to be where they are at. But at the same time, like, you can't deny the fact that Chicago has taken the steps to get better, right? They've aggressively gone out and tried to address their weakest area of need, and that's the offensive line. Like, they've aggressively gone out and have addressed that issue to protect their biggest investment, and that's their quarterback. Now, how that pays off, we'll see. They're still very weak at the tackle position, and how they figure that out, we'll see. But again, they've taken the steps necessary to address that area. And Chicago will be better, right? Like, naturally, they're going to be better than they were last year. I think Green Bay will, too. How Minnesota plays out all depends on that quarterback. Like you mentioned a little while ago, we don't know anything about him. And now he's had another knee surgery to clean up whatever was going on in there prior. So that's two knee surgeries and essentially a year. Don't really know what's happening inside there. So that's areas of concern, which I know they said that they're going with McCarthy, right? Like Minnesota said, that's their guy. But when you start to have multiple scopes in a knee, as a guy that's had multiple knee surgeries, I've had multiple scopes in my knee. I've had them cut open for ACLs. I've had scopes in them. There's something going on, right? Like, I mean, they don't go in there for nothing. So that makes you start to think now, isn't Aaron Rodgers, if they bring in a guy like that, that makes Minnesota all of a sudden it's a different dynamic there. And that makes it very interesting. And then where does that put Minnesota in this thing? And now Detroit, yes, they lose their coordinators, both of them, right? They lose both guys. But it doesn't take away from the talent on the team, right? The team is talented. So you have to assume that they're going to remain, you know, odds on favorite to start this thing as, the leaders in the clubhouse in the division. But hey, different guys calling plays, different guys in situations, how they do things change, right? Like it does make a difference. But it all depends on how Dan Campbell puts in those spots and how those guys react and how they utilize the players at their disposal. But Green Bay does, you know, this is a pivotal year. Year three, I always say, like, right, we looked at it as year one as, like, the rebuild year, right? Like, Jordan Love's first year, really no expectation, and they overperformed greatly, right? How far they made it, how he played, no one really expected it. They made a really good run in the playoffs, probably should have made it to the NFC Championship. They didn't, whatever. Okay. Second year, he was injured a little bit. They obviously brought in Jacobs. He performed well. The defense performed well. They made it to the playoffs, obviously lost to the Super Bowl champion. Played better in that game than a lot of people expected, to be honest with you. I thought they played better than what a lot of people talked about with Elton getting hurt and how they hung in that game. But now we go into year three, right? And, like, now it's time to take that step. It's time to show, like, what this team's about, because the philosophy that was being built before Jordan took over with Aaron, right, was the youth movement, right? Like, it was, we're going to go younger, right? And you can't continue, or at least in the mindset, is like, hey, we're just a young team. We got to wait for these guys to get older. We've been saying that now for 3 or 4 years now. They are older now, right? Like, they've gotten older. So this is the time now. Like, this is where we have to see these guys step up and play well, and they have the ability to. It just has to show. And it is a big year, because we can talk about the coach and all that. The coach has shown he can do it, right? Like, the coach has shown from 2019, 2020, 2021, with certain players at his disposal, he wins games. He wins a lot of games. Even in Jordan Love's first year, won a lot of games. Last year, he won games. So, like, the coach can win games. It's not, to me, it's not like a coaching crisis. The players at this point now need to take it upon themselves and go do it. They need to go do it. And that's, in a locker room, you always need to look internally and say, all right, this is what we thought we did last year wasn't good enough, right? And I think if you look at the guys in there and kind of the messaging as they left at those exit interviews, Tucker Kraft stands out after hearing his exit interview. Like, it jumps off the page to me, right? Like, I remember when I listened to his audio when he did his exit interview, where his, not exit interview, but his interview with you guys as he left.
Right.
It jumped off the page to me because he was honest, right? Like, he was really honest. Like, it wasn't good enough. Guys needed to step up or something of that
nature. We need
to
wake up. Wake up, he said.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, the message is pretty clear, right, with guys within the locker room of what the expectations are. And I think it's going to be better. But the reality is, it's not going to be easy in the division. The division is not easy. The division is very competitive. So, like, you have to be ready to play. Like, it reminds me of my earlier time, like, probably my second year in the NFC North, when Minnesota was good, Chicago was good, we were good, and obviously Detroit wasn't good. But they had pieces. They had Sue. They had Fairley. They had Stafford. They had Kelvin Johnson. They had Vandenbosch. They had a lot of good players, and they could beat you on any given day. And you had to be wary when you played them. That's kind of like what Chicago has going right now, right? Like, that's where Chicago is kind of finding their way right now. So you have to be ready every time you play the division that you can get beat. And that's where Green Bay, I don't see, you know, the 1-5, but you got to be ready to improve upon that, because you can't have that again. You just can't go through that again.
All right, I want to continue this conversation. I know Jesse wants to get to trivia as well, so we've got that all coming up. We can't do what we normally do with Brian, which is keep him longer than he's scheduled to appear, because we can't have you stay for a fourth hour.
That's unfortunately not how this works. Right.
Well, yeah, you also have to get in position, you know, pick up the kids from school. You got
That's
a lot
true.
Going on today. You're in super dad mode. So, and by the end of the day, after they've all gone to sleep and you've made it through another day without Abby, you, like Tausch, can crack open a Coors Light. Here's Tausch telling us about Coors Light with more with Brian Bulaga next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. Whether you're tailgating pregame, enjoying your experience during the game, or celebrating a big win after the game, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light. Coors Light is brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it's cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans, they turn blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold at only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Slow down on Monday, not a sound.
All right, we're going to play trivia next, but I just want to put a bow, as Tausch would say, on this finishing fourth in the division conversation. And the bow is this, Brian. If you had to pick one thing that concerns you as of today, okay, not who knows what's going to happen in the draft, but as we stand here today on March 25th, 2025, the year of our Lord, what is the one thing that concerns you about this team the most right this second?
Ooh, right this second, the thing that worries me the most.
Mine's the pass rush. Mine's the pass rush that we watched what Philly could do with rushing four. The Packers showed no evidence of that. They're holding out hope that somehow the same guys with maybe a draft pick addition will be better in year two of the system. And to me, that is something that if you can get pressure with four, it changes everything. We saw other teams do it, but they have not been able to do it. They can't manage pressure with just four pass rushers. That's my number one concern.
Yeah, I mean, that's up there. That those if those guys step up and make a leap from last year to this year. To me, it's still, even though we've talked about this probably a month ago, how this could be more of a tight end centric offense going forward, right? More two tight end sets and how that could look. And as good as I think the two lead guys in this wide receiver room are, because, I mean, I still had Dobbs in it, but I don't know how, like, we talked about head injuries to start this thing, and I hate to go there, but, like, Dobbs has had two bad concussions, right? Like, and the way he was carried off after that Philly game, it makes me sick to my stomach. So I don't know how he is and how he's going to be, right? Like, in Green Bay's, there's no one more cautious with those things than Flea and Nate and those guys over there. They're very good with those things. So, like, I don't know how he's going to be, right? But I look at the two other guys, Wicks and Reed. I think they're very good players, right? Like, I think they're very good. But in today's NFL and the style of system that LaFleur plays, if it isn't just a two tight end set all the time, right? Like and because if we do two tight end sets and two wide receivers, okay, well then that's very simple, right? That's easy enough. You get those two guys, you're two tight end. Okay, well fine, sounds good. But if you don't, then I'm concerned about what other guys you putting out there, because if you don't have anyone else besides those two guys, it's going to be very easy to shift coverage and rotate coverage to take those guys away. And then it puts pressure on guys to get open and for Love to force balls into places that he doesn't want to have to throw it. And then it causes issues. So obviously if Dobbs is good and you have those three guys, right, and you have those three dudes being able to work and they play up to their potential, yeah, I mean, like, I feel good about it. But right now for me, it's the wide receiver room and those and finding if Dobbs is okay, right? That's assuming Dobbs is fine, finding a true like that fourth and fifth guy and completing that room. Because we all know things happen throughout a season, right? Hamstrings and things like that. Guys miss time from time to time. And, you know, if guys miss time, who's filling in for them? And that's my biggest concern at this point. It's not about, are they good enough? I'm not worried about if they're good enough. Like, because I think Reed and those, like, the talent is there. Like, it really is. Like, this was not the conversation last year at this time. Like, no. You know what I mean? Like, it was not even.
That's what happens when you lose your last three games. That's what we do, though.
Yeah, I know. But, like, I'm just talking about from their talent standpoint. Like, that was not. This was, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy what a year does talking about, like, the guys in that room. So, like, I think the talent's there. It's just them going out there and showing it. So, for me, I'm just going to say that room because I think the expectation of the production, you know, is what I'm looking for. And that's. And I think they can do it. It's just we got to see it.
All right, let's play some trivia. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller do you want?
We're going to have some fun today, Jason.
Oh, no.
Usually we do Wisconsin Geography Wednesday on Wildy and Tausch.
Ooh.
And we still can tomorrow, but with Brian Bulaga here and with me just being down in the great state of Iowa the other day.
You're huge in Dubuque.
Iowa Geography Tuesday makes a special appearance today.
Wow.
I don't know what the nickname is for Iowa. Is it the corn state? The
America needs farmers.
We don't score a lot here.
Yeah, because Wisconsin does a lot of that.
All right. Well, you can't get caller zero. So we'll have to do something else. Caller 10 nice. Right now. Caller 10, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. You'll play trivia next. Want to remind you, as I always do, Associated Bank has been with us from the very beginning. More importantly, even though we love them and they've been a great partner of ours, they've been with the Packers from the very beginning. They were there when the team was founded back in 1919, and they're there for you today, making sure they have the best customer service in the industry. They've got early pay, so you have access to your direct deposit up to 2 days early. They've got credit monitoring that makes sure that your credit score is where you want it and makes sure you haven't been subjected to any sort of fraud. They've got more than 30,000 ATMs that are surcharge-free, so you don't have to pay extra to get to your own money. And on top of that, Packers checking, Badgers checking, and Brewers checking to show your true team colors with your checking account. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Trivia's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
We're on the Packers.
If they're not better this year,
because we're on Wisconsin sports,
there's going to be a lot of seats warming up.
Nobody covers the green and gold like 100.5 ESPN.
Let's play some trivia. Iowa geography trivia. This is such a good idea, Jesse. Even though you're a jerk to Brian for no real good reason, especially for a guy who didn't even go to Wisconsin, you went to Bradley. But
NIT
again,
quarterfinals tonight. Chattanooga doesn't know what's coming for him.
Don't want to miss that. It is Iowa Geography Tuesday. The category, the caller, is Chad in Oregon. Chad, good morning. How are you?
Hey, morning, Jason. Morning, Blue. I'm good. How are you guys?
We are very good, and we're excited to play this. Brian, you've got question two. I've got question one, and the question is this. Which of these Iowa cities, popular among Jesse and his buddies, is found on the border of both Wisconsin and Illinois on the banks of the Mississippi River? Is it Dubuque, Galena, or Kinnick?
That's going to be Dubuque.
Indeed. Jesse, so did you leave Dubuque up or down?
Down, which is normal weekend, but There's all, you gotta factor in the expenses of the Airbnb and all the dinners.
From a purely, those are all experiential though. From an actual wagering perspective, down.
Yeah, still down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes us all happy.
Brian, you've got Chris and Baraboo, by the way, fan of the show, Chris and Baraboo. Friday night, I'm getting up, getting us some Coors Lights from the bar. He goes, "Hey, Jesse," calls me over. "Hey, can I get a picture with you? I recognized you sitting over there." Chris and Baraboo.
Wow.
Good time over at the casino in Dubuque watching the games.
Look at you, Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Celebrity.
Star. Absolute star.
Someday you'll get so lucky, Bulaga.
I don't think so. I don't think so. All right.
Brian Bulaga and Jesse Nelson walk into a bar in Dubuque. Who gets noticed? Clearly Jesse Nelson.
It's 2 years in a row I've been.
All right. Next question. Longitudinally, nice, Jesse. Which of these Iowa college cities is located farthest west? Is it Iowa City, Cedar Falls, or Ames?
I'm going to go Cedar Falls, but I don't even know if that's a college town.
It is where Northern Iowa is.
It's farther north, though.
Yeah. It's Lames. It's Lames, Iowa.
Ooh.
Unfortunately.
Good one.
Sick bird, bro. All right. So we can get to question three because Chad's got stuff to do. How strong of a challenge or how strong of a rivalry is there between Iowa and Iowa State? It's not like they're in the same conference. Like, they're kind of the little brother that
play
you pick
every
on.
Year. Yeah.
They play every year.
Yeah, it's a huge deal for the Iowa kids. Like, all the kids that are from Iowa, it is a big, big, big deal. It didn't do it for me. The game didn't really, the rivalry didn't do much for me. When we went to Ames, the fans treated us like crap, which I expected, which is fine. But like, the game
kind of like you get treated on the show here.
Yeah, I mean, but the game didn't mean anything more to me. Like I've always said I like playing Wisconsin better. Like, that game meant more to me than playing Iowa State. Like, call me a bad Hawkeye, but that's just how I felt.
Okay. I got my I found this on Poshmark, got it for $12. I've got my Iowa basketball sweatshirt now that Fran McCaffrey's not there anymore because I couldn't stand him. All right, question three, Chad.
How long have you been waiting to wear that? He's been there
like
15
years. I just got it last
week.
I finally bought it. I would not buy it. Well, even as Caitlin Clark was playing great and whatever, I couldn't do it with Fran McCaffrey. Not a fan. All right, Chad, I am a fan of correct answers. So let's get one here. Which of these is not considered to be one of the two Iowa cities that makes up the Quad Cities region, along with Moline, Illinois, and Rock Island, Illinois? Okay? So two of these three cities are part of the Quad Cities. One of them is not. Is that one that is not part of the Quad Cities Davenport, Waterloo, or Bettendorf?
Oh my God! I don't know why I thought I did.
Yeah, this is
Quad Cities is always a good trivia question, though. What are the four Quad Cities?
Mm-hmm.
What is it? Beckenworth? Is that what you said?
Let me give you your choices again: Davenport, Waterloo, and Bettendorf. One of those three is not a member of the Quad Cities.
Yeah, I'll stick with Bettendorf, whatever it is.
Some might have thought that I was trying to help you. Some may not have caught that. Waterloo, the one that is not a member of the Quad Cities. All right, Chad.
It's a good little spot, the Quad Cities.
I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have gotten these either. I might have gotten Ames, maybe. All I'm saying is this was a fun concept. Not as fun to play, I'm going to say, unless we had got an Iowa native to play.
There's only so much geography in Iowa. Like, we got to make do with what we have.
Good one. See, you're always taking shots. Always taking shots. Chad, you got one right, so you got two entries into Friday's drawing. We appreciate your loyalty to the show. We appreciate you playing. Have a good one, buddy. Thanks.
You too. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, that is Wildy and Tausch Trivia. We've made up some ground. We're still lagging behind on the clock, but the 11 o'clock hour begins in 2 minutes. So stick around with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.